We spent the entire year learning the sugyas of kashrus. So there's one basic issue that really underlies the entire kashrus institution, both in terms of how we practice kashrus in our own homes, and of course how we practice kashrus in a more of a commercial, more of a restaurant type of a setting. And that's the notion of trust. Who exactly do we trust, and perhaps who we don't trust in terms of kashrus? Of course, it's critical. So I thought we'd get a little bit of a background this week, to the next week, and probably kind of wrap things up for the season in terms of kashrus, something which really permeates all of us kashrus. We spend so much time talking about the details as to what is kosher, what's not kosher. Tachas, how do we know? How do we believe anybody? How do we trust anybody? Who can we trust? Who can we not trust in this important area of halacha? So the sugi begins with a piece from Maseches Gittin and Davbeis and Rebeis, which at first has absolutely nothing to do with kashrus, and by the time we finish, we'll see that this is probably the most important principle as plays out in terms of all of us kashrus. Just a little bit of a background. The first Mishnah, Maseches Gittin, describes a situation where a person brings a get as a shaliach. He's an agent to bring a get from the husband. The husband is far away. The husband's out in Medina Sayyam. He's in the middle of nowhere. And he sends an agent to deliver a get. So the shaliach comes and delivers the get. So the question is, how do we know he's the shaliach? How do we know there's a kosher get? A lot of questions that we have. So the first Mishnah records that the shaliach has to recite a statement. It's called b'fani nechtam, b'fani nechtam. He has to say that he was present when the get was written. He was present when the get was signed. So he's pretty much testifying to the validity of the get. So the Gemara raises the question, why exactly is that necessary? What are we afraid went wrong? What exactly are we concerned with that necessitates the shaliach to give us this testimony? So one opinion of the Gemara, the view of Rabba is that we are concerned lest the get wasn't written l'shma. One of the halachas of Echuz Gittin is, min HaTorah, that a get must be written for the purpose of that man and that woman. If a get is written for Rachel, and it happens to be another Rachel with the same name, same father's name, same husband's name, and you want to use somebody else's get, that get is no good than HaTorah. The Gemara derives this from Sukkim. So therefore, Rabba says we are concerned that Gittin that are coming from far-flung places, how do we know that the people there are really familiar with this halacha? And there's no way to tell. It looks the same. There's no way to, you can't see whether the get is possible or not. The only way to know is if the shaliach testifies that he was there at the time the get was written and signed. So the Gemara raises the question with that background and the first in the Ramakamos and getting that base on the base. L'rabba the obla fisha ain't bikin l'shma. According to Rabba, who says that we are concerned that the people out in Medina Sayyam, out in the far-flung areas, are not familiar with this halach of l'shma. L'boi trei, why do we let one shaliach be believed? We should require two edim. Like in all other areas of halacha, we require two edim. So if you're really concerned that it may be possible, how does the halacha suffice with one aid testifying to its validity? So the Gemara says, no, this is different. Edecha netman b'isurim. This is an area of halacha that's called Issa v'Heter. It's a ritual area of law. We want to know whether the get is kosher or puzzle. So we can apply the principle of Edecha netman b'isurim. Now, even one witness is believed in the realm of isurim. When do we require to aid him? That's to testify about a monetary case, about a capital case. But just to say whether something is kosher or not kosher, so one aid suffices. Edecha netman b'isurim. The Gemara is not so simple. When do we say that an Eidechot is believed? I have a piece of meat in front of me, and I don't know whether it's kosher. I don't know whether it's chelev, which is the prohibited fats, or whether it's shuman, which are the permissible fats. So I have this piece of meat in front of me, I have no idea, and one aid comes and tells me that this is kosher meat. So then the halacha says, Eidechot and Bisurin, I'm permitted to believe this aid. The reason why I'm permitted to believe this witness is Deloi Tzchazik Yisura, because I don't know that it was also in the first place. The aid is coming to tell me on something, on a piece of information that I do not know. So I have a piece of meat in front of me. I didn't know what it was. I still don't know what it is. The aid tells me that it's kosher. Eidech and Aram Yisura. Aval Hocha, in this case of the get, Tzchazik Yisura De'eshes Ish. Over here, the woman was in what's called the Cheskas Issa. For the last 30 years, we've been assuming that this woman has been a married woman. Now, all of a sudden, an Erechot is walking in and, in effect, telling us that the get is kosher, which is tantamount to saying that this woman is no longer a married woman. Here, the aid is doing something which he does not have the authority to do. He is coming to change the chazocha. He's coming to change the status quo. And when it comes to changing the status quo, that's a whole different ballgame. So basically, what the Gemara tells us is that the regular rule of Erechot and Bisurim, that was invoked in Uchus Kashrus to testify whether the meat is kosher or not fall short in the realm of Gittin, because in the case of Kashrus, there's no Cheskes Issa. We don't know what it was beforehand. It's just a 50-50 suffix. In the case of the Get, we know the woman was Asura, and now we're trying to change her status, and Ed Echad would not be sufficient. So at the end of the day, the Gemara solves the problem and says, the real reason why the Get is kosher anyway is because Rob B'Kiyanein, because the truth is that most of the people out in the Medina Sayyam, even the faraway lands, were actually familiar with this halacha of the Get being required to be written in the Shema. So there's no real concern in the first place. The whole concern was only a Chumah Midrabanan anyway, and therefore we're able to kind of get away out of the problem of getting Davbeis. So we're not learning Gittin Davbeis right now. We want to extract the kashrus part of the sugya. But the Gemara just told us with two important principles that are going to play out now in terms of what was kashrus. One is there is a principle called Eidechanem Bisurin. Everybody subscribes to that. Everybody agrees to that. That if a person comes and tells you this meat is kosher, if I didn't know to the contrary, I have no idea whether the meat is kosher or not. The Eidechanem is believed. That's principle number one. Principle number two is that first principle breaks down in the presence of a chazocha. If an Eid Echad is coming to change what I used to think, then there's a problem. Then the Eid Echad is not believed. So the Gemara never explains what the source of either of these two halachas are, but it's clear from the Gemara that both of these halachas are true. Eid Echad does apply b'isurin. Eid Echad against the chazocha, at least at this stage, the Gemara does not apply. And that's why we had to go looking for a different reason in terms of Echad's Gittin. So comes Tosus of the second of the Marmakamos and begins by quoting Rashi. What is the source for this principle of Eidechanem Bisurim? So again, the Gemara never says Menonimil. The Gemara never asks how do we know it. So Pirsha Kudra. So Rashi tells us how Chazal figured this out, that Eidechanem Bisurim. Pirsha Kudra. Sherei Hamina Torah, kol Echad ve'echad al afrashas truma, ushchita, v'nikir hagid, v'chelef. So Rashi rattles off four different examples, which says Rashi, the Torah obviously relied upon each and every person to be trustworthy in these areas. Example number one is Afrashas, Trumas, and Maisras. I grow fruit in Eretz Yisrael, and I tell you, I separated Trumas and Maisras from this fruit. How do you know? How can you believe me? How can you trust me? I can be the most religious person in the world. How do you know I'm telling you the truth? So says Rashi, obviously, the Torah must trust me. We never ever heard in a million years that the Torah should require two Edom to be present at the time of Afrashas, Trumas, and Maisras. It must be that the Torah is believing the farmer. What's that based on? Eidechanem Bisurin. So Rashi is not quoting you a pasuk. He's not quoting you Menon Emili. He's just telling you it's a statement of reality. It has to be that way. There's no other way. The Torah can never have set up such a system that we're going to have two Edom by the farmer. And Sibyl Yushchita, Rashi says, if you don't accept the principle of Eidechanem Bisurin, you're going to be led to an absurdity. The absurdity being, every time somebody shechts an animal, you're going to have two Edom watching. Because how do you believe the Shaykhit? Now we rely on Eidechanem Bisurin for Shechita all the time. Every single time. Any person who has ever eaten a piece of meat in their life, I think that probably covers all of us, you relied on Eidechanem Bisurin. What do you mean? What do you mean you rely on Eidechanem Bisurin? You relied on multiple Eidechanem Bisurins. You walk home, your wife puts a piece of chicken on the table in front of you. Now, I'm not advocating asking your wife the question, but assuming you would ask her that unsaid question, how do you know that this chicken is kosher? So what would she say to you? She'd say, well, I bought it in such and such a store, and it has the mashkiach, whatever it is, mashkiach's name on it, that this chicken is, he's testifying that it's kosher. So you just believed your wife, who just believed the mashkiach. How in the world does the mashkiach know that it's kosher? So somewhere along the chain, we hope and pray that there's no breaks in that chain. That's when the problems of Ashkach kick in. So assuming that the chain is valid, it's going all the way back to a shaykhit. So there's somebody shechting chickens, I don't know, literally right now, but in a few hours, they start the runs again early in the morning. Somebody's shechting a chicken in Empire, and I have no idea. I'm sitting in Birmingham eating that chicken for dinner. I don't know whether that chicken is kosher. I never saw the shechita. There weren't two Edom who testified to me that it was kosher. But the sheikh told the mashgiach, who told the owner of the stool, who told the person who put the sticker on, who told your wife, who told you, that this is that chicken all the way along the way. That's called Eidechanem Bisurin. Rashi says, imagine if the din didn't exist. Imagine if there would be no halacha of Eidechanem Bisurin. You couldn't trust your own wife. You couldn't trust the sheikh. You couldn't trust anybody. So built into the system of normal living must be this principle called Eidechanem Bisurin.
Terminology of
aid
incorrect, though? I mean, it's in the game,
the dog. It's not aid in the sense of, like, aid is in the imam, is in the fascist, but tachlis, he is testifying about something. So it's also, we call him a colloquial aid. It's not the real perfect aid, as you referred to correctly.
The classic source is a woman.
Oh, we're getting there. You read Mechav to Taisa's Shita. We're getting there. So then Rashi gives you a third example. Rashi tells us, goes, V'nikar ha-gid, the fourth example of a chaylev. I'm about to sit down and have this delicious steak. How do I know that the gid anosha is not inside? I have no idea what a gid anosha looks like. I'm about to eat this piece of meat. How do I know the chaylev was taken out? I have no idea. I don't know what's what. I don't know what's chaylev, what's gid. I think it's the same story, the same pismo. It's a chain of command all the way back to the original Sheikhin and Baidek and Menachem, whoever cleaned up this piece of meat for me. So we're assuming that he is Ne'aman, and based on the principle of Eidech and Bisurin, that Ne'amanus goes through. So Rashi gave four different examples of Eidech and Bisurin. So Tosus quickly points out that they're not arguing with Rashi Lemaisa, that in all these cases the person is believed, but they are arguing with Rashi's application of Eidech and Bisurin. Because if you remember, we learned the Gemara in Gittin, the Gemara in Gittin put the brakes on Eidech and Bisurin. The Gemara told us that Eid Echadem Bisurin only applies if there's what we call no cheskas iser. As long as the Eid is not changing a status, that's okay. If the Eid tells me this piece of meat is alright, this is not chaz or this is kosher meat, that's okay. He tells me this is shuma, not chayla, that's okay. But as soon as the Eid is tampering a pre-existing status, that's a problem. Then Eid Echadem Bisurin breaks down. So it comes to us and says, in the second line, says Tosfos, Rashi gave two examples of separating Truma and Shechita. These were not good examples. Why? These are examples of Cheskas Isser. When it comes to Truma, anything that grows in Eretz Yisrael starts out to be Tevel. It's Usser until proven Mutter. It's not like if the aide was coming to tell me this is either Chelev or Shuman. Chelev or Shuman, 50-50. I don't know, there was no way of knowing what it was before. There was no Cheskas Isser. If somebody comes and says, these are my fruit, I grew them in Eretz Yisrael, and I was mafresh shumas and maisis, what the person is in effect telling me is that although they used to be tevel, they used to be treif, they used to be not kosher, they are now kosher. So that's a problem. That's not eidech and bisurin. Well, let's say the case of shechita. When a person tells you that he shechted something, that's also not eidech and bisurin. Because when he tells you that he's shechting, he's telling you that he changed the status of the animal. If I would have wanted to take a bite out of this animal before it was shechted, I couldn't have done that. That's a nisa deraisa, not allowed to eat a live animal. So now the sheikh is telling you that it used to be osur, and now it's mutter. So that's a flag down on that. You can't do that. You have no right to do that. The Eid Echad is only believed when he says something is kosher, but I didn't know anything to the contrary. But just as the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Beis that the Eid Echad is not Ne'eman, has no credibility to change his status, how in the world is the Eid Echad believed to tell me the meat was shechted? How is the Eid Echad believed to tell me that Trumas and Maisos were taken off? So back to square one. You go home, I hope everyone ate their dinner, because at this point I'm not so sure I can eat it. So you go home tonight, and your wife tells you, here's a piece of chicken, and you either literally ask her or figuratively ask her, really, how do you know this chicken was shechted? So she starts telling you the chain of command. Stop. Nobody's Ne'eman along that chain of command because it was Chazik Yisura. There was a Cheskas Yisura on the chicken. I wasn't allowed to eat the chicken before it was shechted. Nobody has Ne'eman. It's to say that the chicken was shechted. So how does that work? Or how does it work in Eretz Yisrael? I go to the store and I buy fruit in Eretz Yisrael. And there's a big sign that says, Trumas Amaisa, Hufrashu Ayom, Trumas Amaisa Sayadeh, Rebbe Shlomo, somebody gives him Mashkiach's name and he signs off on the Trumas Amaisa. How do you know? It's only an Erecha. How do you know? It's his Chazik Yisura. That fruit was osir until proven mutter. So Rashi's examples that a person is believed for shechit and believed for first shumas and maisos are very questionable. So Tosfos continues. Tosfos says, no, second line, the b'hano ne'eman afagav dischazik yisura mishum debiyado l'saknam. Says Tosfos, the reason why the sheikhet is believed and the reason why the farmer is believed has nothing to do with the nechlem yisura. It's a different ne'emanos legamrei. What's it based on? It's called biyado. Biyado means he could fix the problem. The person could have shechted the chicken. The person could have been mafresh and trumas and maisers. Anytime somebody could do something, that's what's called biyado. We assume if you could do it, so you're probably telling the truth. If I go ahead and I tell you something that I can't affect anyway, I couldn't change anyway, maybe I'm telling the truth, maybe I'm lying. But if it's biyadi to change it, why in the million years should I lie? I could just as easily shechted it. I could have just as easily taken off the trumas and maisers. I'm believed not because Eidech and Bisurin, I'm believed because it's Biyadi. So Tosfos just now lines up for us, there are two different types of Ne'amanos in Halacha. There are two different sources of trust in Halacha. Sometimes a person is believed, simple, straightforward, Eidech and Bisurin, And sometimes a person is believed because of biyado. So Tosfos says the reason why your wife is believed, it's because it's biyado. Biyado of who? So Tosfos continues. V'hochi ava b'isha rabbi, quotes the Gemara Maseches Yevamos, that indicates that. V'shchita afagav d'hashta in biyado l'sachno, even though right now you can't shecht the chicken anymore, the chicken is already dead, it's hard to shecht it. Mikarai biyado l'shchait. He says it used to be biyado. And then if you continue on a little bit, to the, it's the sixth line in the Tosfos. It's actually the very last word of the fifth line, very end of the fifth line. Umasha anu somchel, beginning of the sixth line, masha anu somchel al anashim b'shchita. When the women tell you that the meat is shechted, so Bala Tosfos had the same problem, they came home and the Rebbetzins told them that the meat is kosher. How do you know? Tosfos says, afa b'she ein yodo sucha shchita. Says, what, your wife could have shechted for you? You go home and tell your wife that the reason why she's believed to tell you the chicken is kosher is because it's biyado that she could have shechted. Says Tosfos, who are you kidding? She doesn't know how to shecht. No. Kevin should be biyado lomo l'shchait. She could have learned how to shecht. Tosfos assuming the woman could shecht. The mikra didn't, the woman can shecht. We have a minhag. The first Tosfos of Masechet Chulin quotes a minhag that women don't shecht. Tosfos quotes, we're not exactly sure where that minhag came from. It has a very, very strange source. Tosfos, the first Tosfos of Chulin writes that they found in a sefer that's called Hilchos Aleph Yud. In Hilchos Aleph Yud it says that women don't shecht. Even though Mikra did, it's okay, but that's the minhag, that women don't shecht. As it says in Hilchos Aleph Yud. Who in the world are the Hilchos Aleph Yud? So for many years people used to think it means Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. They thought there was some sefer floating around called Hilchos Eretz Yisrael. So then they realized the episode is not true. The other Rishonim quote that it's a sefer called Hilchos Amr Yehoshua. Who in the world is Amr Yehoshua? Yehoshua ben Nun. We didn't know Yeshua, we didn't wrote any sefer except the sefer Yeshua. So there was a sefer floating around in the Middle Ages that was written by a man by the name of Eldad Hadani. Eldad Hadani was running around the world telling everybody that he was from Sheva Don. So we're not quite sure whether he was or not, but he had an interesting, very colorful personality. So he wrote a sefer where he quotes all these supposedly ancient traditions going all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he writes, the sefer starts with, Ami Yeshua, Ami Moshe Piagvura. He quotes Yeshua, quotes Moshe, quotes the Rabbanu Shalom. The problem is that half the things that he says in the sefer are Dvarim Batelim. Half the things are B'chlal not true. So he has some very, very bizarre things in there. So the Rishonim point out that he wasn't exactly as authentic as he thought he was. But some of his statements, he was recording certain minhagim that did exist in Klal Yisrael. Whether they go back to Yeshua Benun is highly, highly questionable. The Rebbe Yehuda writes a tshuva about one of the things in Sefer Eldad Adani. So he writes there's some wild thing he has there. So the Rebbe Yehuda writes a tshuva to try to give a shtichel Torah, a whole lumdus to explain it. So after the whole tshuva, the Rebbe Yehuda writes at the end of the tshuva, I'm not sure why I'm writing the tshuva, because everybody knows whatever it says in the Sefer is not really true anyway. But it's a nice shtichel Torah anyway, so I'll keep the tshuva going. So anyway, so this is one of those things that we don't really know where in the world this came from, but it's not as authentic as he may have claimed it was. But anyway, whatever it is. The bottom line is that women could theoretically shecht, or in theory they can get other people to shecht on their behalf. So therefore the woman is believed to say that that meat is shechted. So at the end of the day, there is no question that a person is believed in shechita. Either it's based on erech and bisurin, or it's based on biyado. But now tells us this. The plumbers, yes. So the plumbers is like an edus. It means it's that when the sheikh sticks that plumber on, so that's like an edus that he's saying that I hereby shecht the beat. We hope.
That's what, couldn't she believe to say that she hired somebody to shecht?
Yeah, that's what Taisa said at the end. Said, "Oh, ask your chayim." She could have potentially had. Yeah, but now Taisa is stuck because Taisa says that we understand where biyado comes from, but what if it's not biyado? What if a person comes and tells you something that's not biyado to do? She doesn't have the ability to do something. Your friend doesn't have the ability to do this. How do you know a person is believed in kashrus? How do you know if I come and I tell you this meat is cow's meat, it's not chazer meat? I don't know what it is. I have no idea. Looks the same, tastes the same to me. So how do I know what kind of meat it is? So the edachin is believed based on what? It's not biyado. It's not biyado to turn a chazer into a cow. What's it based on? So how in the world do we know that edachin is ever bisurin? So v'yim toimer toisus towards the end of the toisus, third line from the bottom. Umenola edachin and bisurin. So toisus asks back to the original question: where does it come from? Now, this is what you mentioned before. Says Tosfos, it's based on a pasuk that is quoted in Maseches Ksubas. How do you know that a woman comes and says she counted Shivanakiyim, she went to the mikvah? How do you know? She's telling the truth. So the Gemara darshens from a pasuk, v'sofra lo shivas yomim, v'sofra lo is a lo shivas atzma, that she counts for herself, Nobody's counting with her. Nobody's watching her doing bedikas. Nobody knows where she went to the mikvah. For sofra l'liatzma, that a woman has namanas to say that she counted shivnikiyim and then she went to the mikvah. The halach is that somebody has to watch her just because it's impossible to make sure that her hair goes down. She can't see that her hair goes down. But that one person doesn't come and testify for me. The wife comes back and says she went to the mikvah. That's it. That's enough. So Tosfos says, you see from here, that not just as a woman believed to say she went to the mikvah, but she's believed to tell you that the food is kosher. That is the source for Nechon and Bissurin, says Tosfos. Other Rishayim disagree with this Tosfos. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says this cannot serve as a source for a very simple reason. Says the Ramban, this is Iyav Shebalav Hochi. It is impossible for halacha to function if this would not be true. This must be a Chiddush HaTorah. This is a Gzeres HaKosov that the woman is believed to say that she went to the mikvah. And it's not necessarily true in other areas of halacha. In kashrus, you can have two eidim. It's possible. In other areas of halacha, you can insist on two eidim. The fact that the Torah lets you get away with one eid, and the one eid being your wife, for sphere shiva nikiyim, that's because it would be inconceivable for the halacha to be any other way. So at the end of the day, we know these halachas are true. There is no question that an eidechad is them in Bisurin. There is no question that if something is biyado, they are believed. But we're having a little bit of trouble pinning down exactly what the sources for these halachas are. The Gemaras are clear. Not only the Gemaras are clear, Maisim b'chol yom, we all rely on Erech Nebisurin, we all rely on Biyad, we all rely on all these principles, but we can't quite pin down what the source is. Rashi had this very vague, all-encompassing statement that, well, it has to be that way, because otherwise the Torah would never have trusted anybody. So that's kind of the mochor, even though it's not really a pasuk, it's just a svara. And Taisa says, no, there's a real bona fide pasuk, the pasuk being nida, and the Ramban says it doesn't really serve as a valid proof. So we're not quite sure what the source is, but the halacha clearly is standing. It's clearly a dim in Torah, it's discussed in Maseches Gittin Daf Beis. It's Maisim B'chol Yom, all of Kilchus Kashrus, all of our daily lives are based on these principles of Erechin and Bisurin and Biyadur. The question is, are there any exceptions to this rule? Are there any individuals who may not be believed, or at least in certain circumstances may not believe? So there comes the Gemara in the third of the Marmikamas, the Maseches Pesachim and Avdal and Aleph. Amru Rav Nachman by Yitzchok, Tenisu HaKol Ne'amonim Abir Chometz, Afilu Noshim, Afilu Avodim, Afilu Ketanim. The Gemara quotes a braisa that says that everybody is believed to say that the Chometz was removed, the Chometz was checked, the Chometz was removed. Even if it's a woman who tells you that she took care of the Bdikas Chametz, or if an Eva Kanani told you that they took care of the Bdikas Chametz, or if a Kotan under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah said it, all of the above are believed. Why is that? It sounds like we're being very lax. We're accepting testimony from perhaps people who we wouldn't normally accept from. So the Gemara in the fourth of the Marmakomis explains what's going on. Mal detayim alolim nur rabbanan. I would have thought that these people should not be believed. Kamash malon the brais that they are believed. And what is that based on? Kaven the Bdikas Chametz mid the rabbanan. Since Bidikas Chametz is only required mid the Rabbanon, to mid the Raisim Vitl B'Yamasagile, because Min HaTorah, you don't really have to remove Chametz. Min HaTorah, you don't have to check the Chametz. Min HaTorah, all you have to do is be Mavato your Chametz. You just have to say Kol Chamira and call it a day. Why is that? How does that work? So that's already more of a Pesach topic, but at least according to Rashi, that's derived from a Pesach in Chumash, Ach B'Yam Rishon Tashbisu Su'omi Batechem. Tashbisu means to be Mavato your Chametz, Rashi learns. And Tosfos writes, the reason why Bitul Chametz works is because you're mafkir it. You declare it to be ownerless. It's not yours, then it's not your problem. So whatever the lomdus is, whatever the background is, lamaisa the din is min haTorah, Bitul Chametz suffices. And the whole requirement of Bedika, the whole first Mishnah Pesachim about Bedika's Chametz, is only mid the Rabbanon. Gemara says we still make a bracha on it. We make a bracha on a lot of mitzvahs, the Rabbanon, but it's only required mid the Rabbanon. So comes the Gemara and says that I would have thought that the women and the children are not believed about Bedikas Chametz. So the Chiddush of the Braisa is, don't worry about it, they are believed. Since it's only mid the Rabbanon, him nur Rabbanon mid the Rabbanon, that the Chachamim believe these individuals, since we're only dealing with them, the Rabbanon anyway. The implication of this Gemara is obvious, is that the only reason why these individuals, as mentioned, are believed is because it's the Rabbanon. The implication being that if it would have been Deraisa, let's say you would have entered into a world of Bedikas Chametz being Deraisa, assuming, you would play devil's advocate, that Bedikas Chametz would be a Mamasha Deraisa. It's not true. It happens not to be. But if it would have been, then it's clear from the Gemara that these individuals would not have been believed. The woman would not have been believed. The Kotan would not have been believed, which is very, very difficult for us to understand, because up until now we've been assuming that a person generally does have ne'amonos, edechen and bisurin, biyada, all the principles that we've been developing up till now. We have never seen any difference between men and women in this area. The opposite is true. According to Tosfos, one of the sources for this entire sugya is dafka from women. Since women are believed to say they went to the mikvah, therefore, I can trust the mashgiach to tell me that the meat is kosher. So now, the Gemara seems to be turning around that principle and saying, not so simple. Some people are believed and some people are not believed. So comes Tosfos in the fifth of the Mamre Kamos and tries to explain away what exactly this Gemara Pesachim is driving at. So comes Tosfos and says, "Heimnu Rabbanu b'Drabbanu," the fifth of the Mamre Kamos. Why does the Gemara make a point of saying that women are believed only because it's the Rabbanon? Afal gav dechol davar shehu biyadam, anything that's biyadam to do that they have the ability to do. Mehamninenu l'nashim v'yavadam. We believe women all the time. V'afilu m'deraisa. There's no question. Nobody ever questioned that women have nemanos, even in the Torah. The ma'isim b'chol yoyim. That's the best kasha from what goes on in your own kitchen. Everybody knows we believe the women. She'anim aminim le'ev le'ish av yevel ha'shchita. The woman comes and tells you that the sheikh gave her the meat. How do I know? So even in the old days, so she took the chicken to the sheikh. The sheikh shechts it. He gives it back to the woman. Your wife, she cooks up the chicken and gives it to you. How do you believe her? If this Gemara is correct, Msachim Dav Dalet, that by deraisas the women are not believed, so how could that be? Ma'isim b'chol yoyim. V'yal ha'nikur, the women tell you that the Gita Nasha was removed. This week's parasha, the mitzvah of Farshas Chala. How in the world do you know the Chala was taken off? You went into the kitchen when your wife was baking. She tells you she took off Chala, so you believe her. Well, you live in Eretz Israel. She told you she took off Jews and Maisa, so you believe her. So what's going on in this Gemara? So we know Maisa Michal Yoyim, the Psukim Gemara is Maisa Michal Yoyim, that we believe women for their Isis also. What in the world is this Gemara Pesachim talking about? But the Gemara is implying that if Petikas Chometz would have been their Isa, some other women would not have been believed. So it comes to us and says, Mikom Mokom Gav Petikas Chometz, Afal Gav to be Yodav, even though it is be Yodav, in theory she could do Petikas Chometz. Mikom Mokom, Ihavim Ideraisa, Lom Hamnin and Louis would not have believed them. Mishum Deika Tircha Yeserisa, Pitzarech Dikta Godol. Tosfos writes that Bedikas Chometz, it's biyado, but it's quite a mitzvah. It's a really, really hard mitzvah to do. It is much harder than Shechita. Shechita, a second, you check the knife, shecht, and it takes you 10 seconds to shecht. Bedikas Chometz can take hours. Dikta Godol and Tircha Yeseira. That's at least the way the Rishonim described the way the mitzvah Bedikas Chometz is supposed to be performed. That one's supposed to really, really look when Makom Shebachnisa Mechometz, Becharin, who's stuck and throughout the house. It takes a long, long time. So comes to us and says, what the Gemara means is like this. A regular, plain, simple halachic process, such as simple process, shechita, hafreshes chala, hafreshes trumas and maisres, removing the get on nosha, all of these things, they're really, really simple. Therefore, we follow what the Ikra din is, men are believed, women are believed, everybody's believed, to say that these processes were done. However, when you're dealing with something which is tzorech dikto godol, then we differentiate between their isas and their abundance. But their isas, we're very, very nervous. But the Rabbanon, we give you a green light. So at the end of the day, for our halachas, as plays out in terms of our kitchen, so women are for sure believed. Lishum Sofik, women are believed on everything. Everything is either biyadam or it's erech nebisurin. According to one day in Taisa, that's even the source for erech nebisurin. So there's no question, you can go home, if you didn't eat tzapi yet, you can go home, you can eat your chicken. If your wife bakes challahs the Shabbos, you can trust on the challahs, she knows the trumas and maisers are taken off. Everything is mutter. There's no question about it. And b'digas chametz, she could also be believed on, because b'digas chametz, the mice at the end of the day, is on the midrabban. So that's the part that's still left hanging in this. But the Gemara did say that a katan would not be believed. If Bedikas Chometz would have been deraisa, a katan would not have been believed. So I left out the end of that Tosfos, but at the end of the Tosfos, so I left out the Labrik, I just wanted to talk about this part, but you mentioned correctly, when it comes to a katan, then we do have a distinction. We say that a katan is generally not believed about the deraisas. A katan is believed about the rabbanans. You may remember we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, about Tfilas Kalim. I think the first year we gave out Tfilas Kalim, we quoted as Machlekes Rishonim, whether Tfilas Kalim is a mitzvah deraisa, or whether Tfilas Kalim is a mitzvah midrabanan. It's unclear if the Gemara calls Psukim, unclear whether they're real Psukim deraisa, just an asmachta. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes in the Trumas Hadeshen that if Tfilas Kalim is deraisa, then a child would not be believed. If Tfilas Kalim is on a midrabanan, then a child under the age of Barba mitzvah would be believed. That's why many Kalim mitzvahs there is a sign that says that Tfilas Kalim should not be done by a child under the age of Bar Mitzvah, and less under the supervision of an adult. For this very reason, that the Shulchan Aruch is machmir, that v'chayshesh etzilas kelim is deraisa, and therefore a child would in fact not be believed. So this Gemara does have a little bit of strength to it also. unless we're dealing with the derabanan. If it would be a mitzvah derabanan, such as in fact bedikas chametz. The bedikas chametz, the child is believed. If the child is a gil lechinuch, the child is 3 years old, doesn't know what he's doing, then obviously he's no nemanus at all. But if he's old enough to know what he's doing, he's taking it seriously, so then for dirim derabanan, we would be able to trust the child as well. So the I don't know if Tosa says it.
We know
it's true. I don't know.
Tosa
says maybe it could be. It's possible that one of the reasons why the women perhaps were a little bit lighter than the men is dafka because they did all the cleaning. So because they did all the cleaning, so they knew exactly how clean the house really was. So they didn't think that would do such a great b'dikas chametz. But there are more quotes that you're supposed, even if you clean the house, it's still supposed to do b'dikas chametz properly. So maybe there is a corollary between those two statements. So the fact that there's a din of an echad b'surin, and the fact that there's a din of b'yado, and the fact that in the end of the day, the man and the women, everyone, pretty much everybody is believed. So we're not sure about how all the details of the lumdas in the background and the drushas fit in, but the halachas are pretty much agreed upon by everybody. But up until now, we've been assuming that we're dealing with people who are taking halacha seriously. It means it's just a question of, we don't literally have to weigh them. We have one aid, is the aid b'yado, not b'yado, echad b'surin, chazaka, not chazaka. Those are we have to iron out some of the details. But we're dealing with shomitar mitzvahs. We're talking with people who are taking, or in the parsha, of treating these areas of halacha properly. Now we enter into an entirely different area, which is going to lead us in a bridge to next year, about what if you're dealing with a person who is not so careful about that area of halacha. So now, if a person is not so careful about that area of halacha, so we have to think a billion times before we can trust what they're saying. A person who himself doesn't eat kosher, they're going to be the mashgiach. The guy himself doesn't shecht. He couldn't care less about eating shechita. He's going to tell us that he did a kosher shechita. Or you have a person in any other area of halacha that doesn't take that particular area with seriousness. That's going to be a real problem whether we can trust them or not. What if you have individuals who are not necessarily known to be careless in one area of halacha, but we have general questions about their entire shmiras Torah mitzvahs? What if there are people who don't keep some of the big mitzvahs? They don't keep Shabbos. They worship idols, things like that. So those are things that are very, very serious, and that's going to potentially affect the Nehemonis. Hopefully, in the next year, we have to analyze what the status of whole groups of individuals who we would like to trust them to tell us that either X, the food is kosher, or Y, the mikvah is kosher, or the soup doesn't have shatnez in it, all the other different times that we apply at Echad HaMisurin, but we have reason to believe that they're not as serious about their appreciation mitzvahs as we are. So hopefully, next week, we'll have to see how that's going to impact the Nasa Halach Lamaisa. I have a feeling next week will be, because I'm going to be, most probably, I think it's probably a good safe bet.